Do you ever feel like you've been given a direction and you're following it, and there's some people who don't have a direction?
Well, I might perhaps think that, but not as a criticism to those people.
Yeah.
I think it's a blessing and a curse to know at 3 years old what you're going to do. I mean, I know that it is probably more of a curse.
Okay, you're into the music business, and you took a like to engineering, operating the controls. It seemed to be something you enjoyed doing and not just playing.
I do love knob twisting, you know, and love noises. That's why I love those records and putting those records on the turntable when I was a little kid, the big 78s. It's the music, but it's also just the mechanics of it. I talked earlier about the songs and all about life, to step back, then say, well, what that meant. But it seems like to me, looking back, that I had an affinity for the mechanics, the machines making the music and recording the music. It kind of goes like this. My dad had a big Webcor tape recorder that he had for his sales meetings and stuff. It was 2.5 feet probably wide and not a bad recorder. I recently bought one. I can't find that one. It disappeared. But he would prop me up at 5 or 6 and have me sing songs, and he would record them. So it's planted in me. It's his fault. You know, I said to him, it's your fault. I don't know if he liked that at all. And then that whole thing of recording at Gene Sullivan's, can't put more of an emphasis on it than I have. Gene was so important to me. Going to a real studio with real microphones and seeing this guy who made his hits in the 40s on one microphone back in the days before mixing, listening to the stories of the Wiley and Gene hits, When My Blue Moon Turns to Gold Again and so forth. I got so I would just pay the minimum amount, which was $15 an hour. $15 was hard to find extra, but I know I did it at least 2 or 3 times. Go up with my acoustic guitar, pay Gene the minimum, sing a little bit, and then listen to Gene talk about those days and try to learn. When mixing a record was how far away you were from the microphone. As Johnny Lee said, he played banjo, as I suppose you know, on those early Bob records, some of them. They kept moving him back until he was in the other room sometimes because a banjo cut through. But that's all great stuff, and we have Gene's original equipment up here at the farm. So that planted a seed, and then this is going to sound ridiculous. It just is true. That $15 is hard to come by to go to Gene's and record. And then to buy a reel of tape, which might have been $25 to $50 when you get into 1-inch tape. Nobody ever had the money for the tape. And as a matter of fact, Gene didn't. I think lots of stuff was lost because he would record over it. That's a thing in modern times. However good or bad digital is, you can keep everything. But there are lots of video and audio masters that have just been lost because the next week they just record over them. I look for the Beatles on the Tonight Show every once in a while, and there's just horrible copies on there because Leo DeRocher, the baseball guy,
yes,
was an oft-times fill-in host for Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. So Paul and John make a surprise walk-on visit to the Johnny Carson show. It's the theory, but I just know they just didn't bother with keeping those tapes. They wouldn't have been great tapes anyway. So it's lost. Even that is lost. It's a great example of lost. So I think Gene even recorded over and erased the masters of maybe Cale and Leon, certainly me. And I'd like to have me, just for historic sake, you know, not to listen to. So you get up to a point, the joke being that I'm out of college. It was a desire of mine, but part of it was actually easier for me to get an SBA loan and build a little studio than it was for me to repeatedly come up with the money to book studio and buy tape. But even then, I have my own studio wide open. You can record as much as you want. And even then, who's gotten money for tape? It was always a problem. We got the church studio. We look at each other and go, the time for making excuses is over. We got a studio. It's a world-class studio. Let's make records. Well, who's got money for tape? The first Tractor songs were recorded on used tape I bought from Coast Recording Supply in California, and it had been 2-inch tape. One of them was the Arthur Godfrey show, and they'd record the audio on tape and just use it once, and then Coast would buy that up. And one of them was The Winds of War, I think, a TV miniseries with Rod Mitchum. I had to erase that stuff, which was funny. I dumped off some of Arthur Godfrey first.
You listened to them first.
I did, and dubbed some of it off.
And then did that hurt?
Yeah, it hurt. Because
you did dub some of
it. It was multi-track Arthur Godfrey, and I guess were Burl Ives and Lucille Ball. Are you kidding me? And it's on the first Tractors record. Anyway, the desire to twist knobs and stuff, and it's a trap. And I tell young people, and sometimes it's a good trap, but I tell young people, those were the days when to have a studio, you had to actually come up with some money because there was no cheap recorders to buy. And even though ours was a small place, it was still a $30,000 or $40,000 investment in 73. But digital came along, and everybody could have a studio. So the trap is this. You think, well, I'll get my own equipment and I can record all the time. The same reasons that I just gave for why I did it. So the reasons I think are valid. But I've now got this experience, even looking back 20 years ago, and telling people, I'm saying it's a trap. First thing you know, you'll be recording your friends for $20 an hour, and you won't be recording yourself at all. You'd record yourself more if you hadn't bought it and just saved up some money every once in a while and booked some time. And that's what happened to me, though I did love it. I love the smell of tape, and I'm still immersed in it. But in a way, it became easier to record and make a living than it did to play in bands.